Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you tell us and show us through your word. And Lord, as you show us this morning, the heart of Ezra and his desire to praise you and thank you, his desire to know your word, to do your word, and to teach your word, Father, help us to learn from this great example and help us to have grateful hearts and praise you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin this morning by just singing this old song, Standing on the Promises of God. And since we'll be talking about the Word of God, in the second verse it says, Standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. Then, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Amen?
Amen?
That's where we're going to be this morning. So let's sing along, Standing on the Promises of God. I'm the only one that's standing on the promises of God. But it's good to see you sitting on the promises of God as well. So praise the Lord. Well, this morning, as we look at continued prayers in the Bible, praises in the Bible, and whatever else that there's so much we can get in every chapter. But we're in Ezra today, Ezra chapter 7. And you know that Israel, because of their sin in not keeping the law, not giving the Lord a rest on the seventh year for 490 years. God threw them out, destroyed the temple, and they were in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. A little bit earlier than this, Cyrus gave that great command that was prophesied way back in Isaiah that they should return and rebuild the temple. And so Zerubbabel and Joshua went back, and they rebuilt the temple. But it kind of fizzled out a little bit. And we ended on the high note in chapter 6 of Ezra. It says, And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. So it sounds like all is well. Now the very next words are, Now after these things. And we never know what "now after these things" means. But in this case, it means 57 or 58 years. 57 or 58 years. So we have a new king. Assyria has fallen and Persia has been raised up in the meantime. So now we got another king. Now Cyrus was totally committed to having the temple rebuilt, which is amazing when you have the number one man in the world committed to rebuilding a temple for the Lord. And now we have a new king, Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now, by the way, during that 58-year period here, hi, Steve. During that 58-year period, the book of Esther was written, so that puts a little bit of it into chronology, and we had Ahasuerus there for a season, and then we have Artaxerxes, that's Xerxes' son. I guess they call him Artie, I don't know, but maybe some people that say that's a title. Anyway, now we have Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Persia is now the world power, and we have Ezra and his genealogy, or at least some of it's getting given here, 16 generations shown here in chapter 7, going all the way back to Aaron, the chief priest. So he's got great credentials. Now this is about a 1,000-year period from Aaron to here, and there's only 16 generations, so we're pretty confident there's some not shown. But these are kind of the highlighted guys. But he does have lineage all the way back to the chief priest. And we see this Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe. What is a skilled scribe? Well, a scribe, I believe, is one who copies. A skilled scribe is one who understands what he copies. And Ezra was a man of the Word of God, so he was known as a skilled scribe. And it says, listen to this, which the Lord God had given, the king granted him his request. Now, we aren't told what his request was, but we see the answer to that request, so we know what it was. And that was, I want to go back to Jerusalem and get the temple going again. That's what God had laid on his heart. But here's this captive in Babylon, kind of the hated Jews, more or less, coming to the number one man in the world and making this request. Isn't that amazing? Now, we see here that the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord. Now, we will have the hand of the Lord unto us three times in this chapter, one time in the next chapter. And Ezra was a man whose hand of the Lord was on his life. Question. Is the hand of the Lord on your life? If you're obedient to him, you know that it is. So he granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord, his God upon him. And he calls the singers and so forth and so on. Now we go on down at verse 10, which is just one of the most important verses in the Bible, I believe. And here is what we see defining this man Ezra. And see if how many of these characteristics apply to you and to me. For Ezra had prepared his heart. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, or to seek the Word of God. Have you prepared your heart to seek the Word of God? And not only that, but to do it. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is so often quoted, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, he will bless the land. That's not all that he said. He said what? And turn from your wicked way, to be obedient, right? So here again, Ezra has a heart to learn the word and to be obedient to it, and then to teach it. To teach statutes and the ordinances in Israel. So those are the three components to this man, Ezra, which are such an example for every believer, I believe. Preparing your heart to seek the Word of God, to be obedient to it, and then to pass it on. Pass it on to teach others. And I don't believe this teaching others means you have to be in a classroom or anything like that. I think it's passing on the Word of God, passing on the gospel message, right? And so that is what Ezra was doing. And he caught the eye of the number one guy in the world. Of course, the number one guy in the world was guided by the Lord for sure. But he catches the eye of King Artaxerxes. Then King Artaxerxes gives him a letter. And it says, verse 11, this is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra the priest, the scribe, expert in the words of the Lord. An expert of the words of the commandments of the Lord. So here, this man who's prepared his heart to learn the word, to be obedient, and then to teach us, is known as an expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord. And then Artie starts his verse, Artaxerxes, King of Kings. Of course, at that point, he was the King of Kings on the earth. He certainly, you don't see any capital K in that, right? And our king is a capital K of the capital Ks, right? But Artaxerxes, King of Kings, to Ezra, a priest, a scribe, and are of the law of the God of heaven. Isn't that amazing? How many number one kings in the world over time, over history, would be referring to our God as the God of heaven? But here he is. And so he says, perfect peace and so forth. I issue a decree that all the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites in my realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you. And whereas you are being sent by the king, notice, it went to a request, can I go to, not only can you go, but I'm sending you. Is this amazing or what? King, powerful king of Persia is sending him and seven counselors to inquire. And with regard to the law of your God, I love it, which is in your hand, and whereas you are to carry silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered. So he's not only sending him, but he's giving him money. And there were three sources of money here, the money that they were to take and the money that they would find in the provinces of Babylon along the way, and with the freewill offering of the priest. And you know how much gold and silver that they took? 25 tons of silver and 3 tons of gold. You try to load that on a donkey and see how many donkeys it takes. It takes a lot of donkeys, doesn't it? And that was an amazing thing. But this is the wealth that they carried with them. And then he says in verse 17, King Artaxerxes, be careful to buy this money, bulls, rams, lambs, grain offerings, drink offerings, and offer them on the altar of the house of your God in Jerusalem. The temple is built. He doesn't need wood and cement and all that stuff. He needs the sacrificial. This would certainly keep them in sacrifices for at least 2 years, it's believed, maybe more. And then he says, and whatever seems good to you and your brethren to do with the rest of the silver and gold, do it according to the will of your God. How many kings would tell you that? Here's all this money. Whatever you have left over, be sure and send it back, right? No, he's saying, do it according to the will of God. And then he says, deliver these in full, no pilfering. Be sure there's good stewardship here before the God of Jerusalem. And whatever more you may be need for the house of God. In other words, don't bother me by asking for more. If you need more, pay for it from the king's treasury. God is working in that king's life, isn't he? I don't think anybody is king is going to say, if you need more, just go to the treasury. And then he's also going to give him no taxes. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? No taxes. So he says in verse 24, also we inform you that it shall not be lawful to impose tax, tribute, or custom on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, Nethinim, or servants of this house of God. And you, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom. I love that. And that would apply to all of us. We all have God-given wisdom. But according to your God-given wisdom, such magistrates and judges who may judge all the people who are in the region beyond the river. Now, there is some selfishness here in Artaxerxes' command. History tells us he had been having some rebellion problems in the western part of his province. Now, he's clear over in Persia. Of course, these people are going to Jerusalem, right? 900-mile journey. And that's another thing about Israel that I love. Do you love to teach the word enough to go 900 miles on a four-month journey, either walking or riding on a something or other? Not a vehicle, but a donkey or something or other. Amazing, isn't it? And your God-given wisdom of the magistrates and judges. So he wants his magistrate and judges to know the Lord because and to be ruling in accordance with the law of the Lord. Isn't that great? How close does that happen to our country today? How much are our judges, what we're saying for our judges, right? You got to support abortion. If you aren't for abortion, we don't even want you, right? Which is absolutely opposite of what we want because God hates that. But we see here, this is another time. He says, all such as you know the laws of your Lord and teach those who do not know them. A great compliment there by this king to Ezra, that he knows the laws of your God and teaches those who do not know him. Can that be said of you? Do you know the word, and is it? Are you teaching it, or are you passing it on, in other words? And then he goes on, whoever will not observe the laws of your God and the law of the king, here's another really moving the king, let judgment be executed speedily on him, whether it be death or banishment or confiscation. So the king is establishing this decree to help Ezra, and if people don't obey, it's going to cost them their lives. Amazing, isn't it? Now, the thing we wanted to kind of get to today is verse 27 and 28, which is Ezra's praise to the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and has extended mercy to me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. How thankful are you to the Lord? How much of your worship with him is given over to praise and thanksgiving? Good thing to think about, isn't it? Ezra was very grateful here, and he recognized it's the hand of the Lord where all of these things are coming from. And that's what we need to recognize as well, is it not? Well, Father, we thank you for this example. We thank you for this man preparing his heart to seek the word of God and then to do it and then to teach it. Pass it on. Here we are this morning, Lord, with the opportunity to pray. So lead us in this time of prayer now by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Faithful. You are always faithful. Lord, help us to be faithful to you and to your word, Lord. Bless each one because they came this day. And Lord, may we be light into the darkness today. Help us to teach someone your gospel message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.